All right, two passages tonight. Start in Psalm 34. Psalm 34. And I want to read a couple of verses here, and then we'll go over to the New Testament, to the book of 1 Peter. Psalm 34. And then over to the New Testament. All right, everybody have it? Psalm 34, and let's begin reading in verse 12. Verse 12. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. All right, now here's the psalmist, and he is asking how many folks would like to have a lot of good years in life. And he says, well, if that's what you desire, then you need to do right. The wages of sin is, so do right. Keep your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking guile, depart from evil, do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. All right, now, go from there over to the New Testament, to the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And let's look down at verse 10. And Peter, writing to Christians scattered all over the place, and of course it's here for our edification, so writing to us, we could say, in verse 10, he said, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." So, you think Peter plagiarized a little bit? There's a little difference between them. Same thought, but just a little difference between them. And I want to use these two texts tonight and speak to you on the subject of loving life. Loving life. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for the music tonight. What a blessing. And I thank you for now our time in the Word. And Lord, I pray you will bless us richly tonight. Speak to our hearts. And I pray you'll show us something tonight that we can use, something that maybe we hadn't thought of in a little while. Surely we've all thought of this, but maybe not for a little while. And so I pray that you will speak to our hearts tonight. And Father, we certainly do love you tonight and just thank you for all of your blessings to us. And certainly one of the blessings of the Christian life is just to love serving and living for Jesus. And so as I speak tonight on the matter of loving life, use it to encourage us. And Lord, we need encouragement. We are living in such a dark day. There is so much evil, and here is both the psalmist and the apostle telling us to stay away from evil and just to love life. So, Father, help us to see how to do that tonight. And I pray that the Lord will be honored in what is said. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When Peter spoke these words in 1 Peter 3, verse 10, 11, and 12, they were not original with him. But he was quoting David in Psalm 34. And the interesting thing to note about Peter's verses is how Peter gives a new twist to an old thought. You see, the psalmist asked, "Do you desire life? Do you want to live for many years in this world?" And then Peter turns it around just a little bit, and he asks it this way, "Do you wish to love life? Do you want to find the Christian life sweet and delightful and enjoyable all the way to the end of it?" That's basically what Peter, or how Peter asked the question. In other words, the psalmist teaches us how to live if we would like to reach old age, while Peter teaches us how we ought to live if we want to find life full of happiness and satisfaction and enjoyment. And I can't help but think that at the back of Peter's mind, there lies the thought that in youth, we are all, it seems, I can't say all because certainly there are exceptions, but most children love, they're in love with life. I knew what I was preaching on tonight. And so this afternoon when the kids and the grandkids were over, after dinner they were all playing in the family room, and I was just sitting there watching their faces and watching their expressions, and I saw it for myself. They love life. I mean, three of them were coloring with everything they had. And little Brennan was helping Karen make these little rubber band bracelets. And Grayson was doing his best to crawl into the fireplace. I mean, doing his best. And they love life when they're little. They see life as an experience, not as a problem. Think on that. They see life as an experience, not as a problem. That's how Peter saw life too. To the average child, life is just a wonderful thing. Children are, for the most part, not obsessed with fears. They're carefree, they're joyful, and they're in love with life. Oh, there's going to be a few setbacks here and there. But you've noticed it. You've seen it. When they have a setback, they just seem to get up, knock the dust off, and bounce off to some new excitement or to some new adventure. And this continues through childhood. It carries on into their teen years. And even in those teen years, those years of change and adjustment, where they're not quite kids anymore, and they're certainly not adults yet, you start to see a few issues along the way, but by and large, most teens are in love with life and everything is fine and dandy with them. When they are young, they do not need to be taught to make life wonderful. It just happens for them. We just, for the most part, see it that way when we're small. And then comes that time where love enters into the picture. And then marriage enters into the picture. And then a career enters into the picture. And with marriage and a career, along comes children and bills and a mortgage and commitment at a job and taxes and keeping up a house and taxes and then keeping the car running and taxes. It just keeps coming, doesn't it? And the list goes on and on. And what we find as we mature and become adults and grow older is the difficulty that comes eventually to all of us. It's going to hit all of us. And that difficult thing is to keep in love with life through all the experiences of the years. Through the sorrows that we have to face, through the disappointments, through the heartaches, through the trials that will inevitably come our way. You see, all of the things that can pile up and complicate life can cause us to lose our love for life. It can happen, and it can happen quickly. So I'm saying to you tonight that the difficult thing that we face as we age is staying in love with life. Now, you've met them, and so have I. I remember when I was a kid, I had a paper route. I lived in a subdivision, and that subdivision's goal was to have 500 homes. Now, they did not quite have 500 when I had the paper route, but they had 250 to 275, 300 homes in there. And just about everybody in there got the Charleston Daily Mail newspaper. And it was my duty to take that newspaper and deliver it. The only day I had off was Saturday evening. They did not do a Saturday evening paper, but they did a Sunday morning. And I had to get up at 4:30 every Sunday morning, which, as you know, killed me, and deliver newspapers. Rain, snow, shine, it didn't matter. And there were a couple of people on my paper route. And nobody wanted to go in these people's yard. If we were playing football and the football went over in their yard, nobody wanted to go get it. Because we knew that out the back door was going to come this crotchety old man shaking a stick at us, threatening to call the police. Nobody wanted to go. And we've all met some grouchy, bitter, angry, mean people, old people, through the years. What's happened to them? Well, they lost their love of life a long time ago. They lost the love of life a long time ago. So we joke about these crotchety old people. They can't get along with anybody, can't get along with themselves. I've known some of these folks, their own children don't want anything to do with them. That's sad. And you know, the truth is, we are all getting older and older and older by the minute. So I thought that I would speak tonight on keeping in love with life, using these two passages of Scripture. Now, let's focus on Peter's admonition here. Go back and look at it. Verse 10, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Now think with me, folks. I want you to notice that in Peter's words of encouragement to the saints of God, there is not a caveat anywhere. There is not, you can have a love for life as long as you're not this or you're not that, or this hasn't happened to you or that hasn't happened to you. There are no caveats in this. In other words, you and I can have a love for life, even as we grow older. And I want you to notice, first thing, I want you to notice that there is not a word by the apostle, not one word about poverty or hardship. Not a word. Don't raise your hand. But how many of you grew up poor? Don't raise your hand. We did. I mean dirt poor. And you know the neat thing? We didn't know it. We didn't know that we were poor. But we were poor. I mean, reflecting back, and I called my dad one night this week. I can't remember what night it was now. And we kind of got to talking about some of that. And we were poor. But as I remember back on it, and I look at the faces around the tables, we were poor, but we were happy. You remember that? I remember the outhouse. Oh, man. Just the thought of that today. Would you just think about that for a minute? What if you had to go out a back door of your house and walk down a path in the middle of winter? You say, "Oh, I just can't fathom that." That was the way of life. I remember the well house. In the wintertime, you ran as fast as you could with that empty bucket into that well house. And in the summertime, you went as slow as you could go because snakes used to hang out in that well house. Man, you did not just run up, fling that door open. A black snake about as long as you was liable to fall out right in front of you. That happened to me more than once. I remember the old cellar. I remember the pot-bellied stove. It would be 120 degrees we had two rooms, the kitchen, dining room, bathroom, although there was not a commode in there, but that's where you took a bath. You took a bath with water that was boiled on the wood stove and poured into a wash tub, and then you got in the wash tub and took a bath. The goal was to be the first one in the tub, because they weren't going to throw the water out for your brother. I remember those days like it was yesterday. I remember cutting the top off your winter boots in May. making summer shoes. I remember we ate a lot of soup. Did you ever go out to dinner? No. No. You never went out to dinner. We ate homemade everything. We canned what we grew in the garden. I mean, we were poor, but as I look back on it, we were happy. Loving life, folks, has, listen to me, loving life has nothing to do with poverty or hardship. That is one area where the Bible is silent, and that silence is as eloquent as any speech that has ever been delivered. Now, desperate poverty may make a person rebellious in his heart, especially today in this age where we are taught class warfare through every media outlet there is, where we are being told repeatedly that it's not fair that some folks have and some folks don't. So we have to create ways to redistribute the wealth so that life becomes fair for everybody. And a gullible society has started believing that nonsense. And we now live in a society where too many people believe that they are owed a living by the rest of society. Here's a novel idea. Work for a living. I mean, we were better off as a people when people lived within their means. We were a strong nation when the country lived within its means. Poverty does not throw people out of love with life. Some of the most miserable people in the world are those folks that have so much money, they don't know what to do with it. And they don't know what to do with themselves. And it's often these idlers who lose the love for life. You rarely see a hard-working family man living within his means who has lost his or her love for life. Very rare. I've known scores of wealthy folks, and they didn't like anything. So poverty has nothing to do with it, folks. I want you to look again at Peter's sage advice. Not one word about poverty or riches. Not one word about hardship or ease. Not a single word. His advice is simple. You want to be happy? You want to love life? Then here it is. Do good. Just do what's right. Just do what's right. Just be a good person. Seek after peace instead of seeking to destroy peace. Have you known these folks who just always have a storm going on in their lives all the time? They just got a storm raging all the time. It's just always something that they have against somebody, or someone always has something against them. Folks, life is too short to live it without loving it. Why do you want to be miserable? You see, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ear is open unto their prayers. Doesn't say his eyes are over the rich. Doesn't say his eyes are over the poor. It says his eyes are over the righteous. The righteous. Second thing I want you to notice, there is not a word in here about suffering or cross-bearing. Not a word. Not a word. There is not even a hint that we must shun bearing crosses or that we must go through life without any suffering whatsoever if we want to be happy in life. The truth is, folks, I think some folks just have a ministry of bearing the cross. I don't understand it. I don't understand why some folks have to go through life in pain and suffering, having the awful cross of some disease that debilitates them, some condition or some syndrome that just hangs over their head with every step that they take through life. But does that mean that such a person cannot live and see good days? Of course not. Some of the finest Christians I know are people that are carrying the crosses through life. Peter doesn't mention suffering or having to carry some cross through life at all. It's not mentioned at all. As a matter of fact, we have all seen folks suffer and still love life. I'm thinking about old Fanny Crosby. Man, we sing a lot of her hymns. They're in our hymn book. We sing a lot of her hymns. That woman was blind. Blind, but it was okay. Because the eyes of the Lord saw over her steps. That's what the Bible says. And she yielded the cross that she had to bear to the Lord. And she lived life to its fullest with the hand of God all over everything she did. Folks, the truth is, suffering presents all of us with a great challenge. And I emphasize all because we're all going to have to suffer somewhere along life's road. You're not going to get from the cradle to the grave without suffering somewhere along the road. But listen, suffering will bring out what is bravest inside us. It creates a challenge as to whether or not we're going to let the suffering or the cross defeat us, or if we're going to run to the Lord and let Him give us the strength to carry on. And Peter never thought for a minute of saying that if we would love life, we got to get rid of all the crosses in our lives. No, sir, not mentioned. Even with the suffering that we must face, and even with the crosses that we must bear, Peter says, do good, eschew evil, seek peace, and seek to make peace with your brethren. That's Peter's advice for loving life. Why is it that we can't see that? Why is it we can't see that? Serve the Lord. Even if you have to suffer, serve the Lord. And if you serve the Lord, the love of the life that God has given you, you will love it. The life that God has given you, you'll love that life. Now, we've seen what's not there. And lastly, I want to show you what is there. You know what I think? I think Jesus is found in Peter's words here. I think Jesus is right there. I think when Peter was penning these words, the Lord Jesus' face was in his mind. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, if anybody understood that Jesus loved life, it was Peter. Peter understood that the Lord Jesus loved life. I say that because he heard the Lord Jesus say that one of the reasons that he came into this world was to give life, but not just life. He said, give it more abundantly. And his life had all the ingredients in it, if you stop and think about it. Our Lord's life had all the ingredients in it that would make it unbearable. He had hardship. He had poverty. He was misunderstood by a lot of folks. He faced loneliness. At the end of his life, he faced agony beyond comprehension. Can I remind you that when he was in the garden, he prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Now, this cup was not life. This cup was death. And this viewpoint that he had was something that Peter saw. And this week or last week, sometime here recently, might have been this afternoon, might have been this morning, I don't know. You get like that, don't you? I read where at the end of Buddha's life, Buddha said this. Listen to the difference. Buddha said, life is an evil thing. He said, let us be done with it so we can get to nirvana. That's the exact opposite of what the Lord has said to us. That's the exact opposite. The psalmist, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so it came from God. The psalmist said, you want to love life? Peter said, you want to love life? You see the difference, folks? Our Lord saw life as a glorious thing. He said, believe on me and you'll have eternal life. And yet when you read the Gospels, his life knew the greatest of suffering. He was tempted in all points by the devil. He was poor. He was lonely. He never had a place to lay his head. He never owned a home. He owned a cattle on 1,000 hills, but he never owned a home. And Peter says, hey, if you want to love life and you want to keep loving life, then what you need to do is you need to live like Jesus. And think about it, folks. Look at your text. What did Peter say? He said, speak no guile. Can I remind you that the Bible tells us that there was no guile in our Lord's lips? Peter said, you want to love life? He said, eschew evil and do good. Can you remember that the Bible says that this man goeth about doing good? That's what he was all about. He just went about Galilee and Judah doing good. That's what he did. Peter said, seek peace and ensue it. Can I remind you that Jesus is the Prince of Peace? So do you want to love life? You want to love life? I'll tell you how to do it. Be like Jesus. You say, well, Pastor, how do you do that? You read about Jesus and then you become like Jesus through knowing him. You ever notice when your kids were little that they would hang around certain kids and then you would start to see those other kids' behavior in your own kids? And you know, if you and I would just get in the Bible and hang around Jesus, wouldn't take long before we'd start acting like Jesus. And that's what Peter's saying. You see, for the Lord, life was not in possessions. It was in character. It was in service. It was in love. And if we want to keep in love with life, we've got to follow his steps. Just put first things first. That's what he did. Give attention to character. That's what he did. Serve your heavenly Father and serve your brother. That's what he did. Everywhere he went. You see, life was sweet to the Lord Jesus because he lived it under the watchful eye of his Father. That's what Peter is admonishing us to understand. Our Father's watching over us. Everything he did was in obedience to the will of the Father. He felt as nobody else has ever felt, the continuous presence of the Father watching over his every step and his every thought. For the Lord Jesus, God was Father, but God was also friend. And he shared in every trial and in every joy of every minute of every day. And now here is Peter admonishing us, and he says to us, hey, Christian, do you want to keep in love with life as Jesus did, right on up to the very end, just like Jesus did? Then never forget that the eyes of the Lord are upon you and his ear is open to your prayers. Folks, when over our lives there is a canopy like that, when underneath, as Solomon said, and Moses, when underneath are the everlasting arms, when we have the promise of a heavenly hand that is there to guide us along the way, and there's heaven's breast to lean upon, then life can bring what it will. And as God's people, we can stay in love with life. I think if we were able to take this verse, or these three verses, and put them in a pot and boil it down, what would be left would be an admonition to simply serve God and love Him with all your heart. That's how you stay happy. Just do what God wants you to do. You say, but Pastor, it's hard. Yeah, I know. But that's the key to being happy, being obedient to the Lord. That was King David's advice all those years ago, and it was Peter's advice. And if it was good enough for David, and if it was good enough for Peter, it ought to be good enough for us. Oh, that we would just love Him with all our hearts. Do you love Him tonight? Do you love Him tonight? Oh, Christian, listen. You love Him, and you'll love life. You can't separate the two, or you won't be able to, because He becomes your life.